One of my favorite Bible stories is God's call to young Samuel. The story of God calling a child has always appealed to me. The idea that God's call might come to us and not be readily apparent fits my experience. One of the first things I had to do when I began the process of seeking ordination and applying to seminary was to write a call story. By the time I graduated seminary, I'd been asked to relate my call story so many times, more times than I can count. Listening for and thinking deeply about our call from God is an important part of being able to respond to that call. Like Samuel, it's easy to mistake the call of God for something else. That is particularly true when we do not want to hear God's call. After all, God could be calling us to do something we think we don't want to do. Like Samuel, it's easy not to hear God's call if we are not listening for God. Like Samuel, we might not recognize God's call because we have not prepared ourselves to hear God's call. You might say that God has not called you, but God has a purpose for each of us and calls us to that purpose. The psalm for today includes these words: "For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts. O God, how vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I'm still with you." God knows us before we're born and has a purpose for our lives. As we grow up, we choose a way to make a living. If our way of living is in accordance with God's will for our lives, it's a vocation. The word vocation comes from the Latin word vocare, which means to call. Living God's purpose for our lives is living according to God's call. So what is God's purpose for our lives? This question is apparently of very wide interest. Rick Warren, the founder and retired pastor of Saddleback Church in Orange County, California, perhaps the largest church in the country, has written one of the best-selling books of all time called The Purpose-Driven Life: What on Earth Am I Here For? Warren's book has sold over 50 million copies and has been translated into 137 languages. So I believe it is fair to say that many people wrestle with the question, what is my purpose? Warren quotes over 800 Bible verses in his book and reaches the conclusion that there are five truths to answer this question of why we are here. According to Warren, we exist for the purposes of worship, ministry, evangelism, fellowship, and discipleship. He states that in fulfilling these roles on earth, we find and fulfill our purposes. The book is organized around five general purposes that apply to everyone. He says that we are planned for God's pleasure, formed for God's family, created to become like Christ, shaped for serving God, and made for mission. Rick Warren has tapped into the deep human question. What is my purpose? Simply answered, our purpose is to become what God created us to be. We are like Samuel, children of promise. We are children who God calls. We are children who God wants in the family business. God wants us to love Him and to love the rest of the family. Yet God does not force us. However, like Samuel, God never gives up on us. God continued to call Samuel until he responded. God gave Samuel the time it took to hear and understand God's still small voice. Like Samuel, when the distractions of the world are put aside, we are more likely to hear God's still small voice. Like Samuel, if we do not listen with expectation for God's voice, we may believe we're hearing someone else's voice. After all, the voices we hear most often are those around us. But remember that God uses us as the body of Christ in the world. God uses unlikely people and unlikely events to speak to us. The voice we hear coming from our neighbor, our Sunday school teacher, maybe even our preacher, may be used by the Holy Spirit to speak to us. When I was a Boy Scout, my scoutmaster asked me to deliver the evening devotions at the campfire. When I went to college, I was approached by a member of the administration about becoming part of the College of Church Careers program. When I was a Sunday school teacher, the members of my class would often ask me if I had considered becoming a preacher. I heard those various voices as compliments, but I did not hear them as the voice of the Holy Spirit at the time. When I started to hear similar voices coming from preachers that I served on committees at Pines Presbytery, I became more serious about discerning whether I was hearing the voice of God. Finally, when a preacher who hardly knew me asked me about becoming a preacher, I was convinced that God was and had been calling me into the ministry. At the time, I was 50-something. And I told him, it's probably too late. He said, it's never too late to respond to God's call. Samuel got it right the fourth time. For me, it took much longer. Moses was called with the sign of a burning bush. But most of us do not have a sign that causes us to take our shoes off and fall to our knees. Paul was called when the heavens opened on the road to Damascus. But most of us do not have a Damascus Road experience. In today's scripture in 1 Samuel, it says that, quote, "The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread," end quote. Isn't that our experience? We wish that God would just open up the heavens and speak to us like God spoke to Jesus at his baptism. Like Elijah, we want God to be in the whirlwind or the earthquake. Yet more often than not, God speaks to us in the sound of sheer silence. It is through our becoming willing to be quiet and listen that we become sensitive to God's voice to us. One weekend in 2015, I was asked to be a speaker at Camp Gilmont for an elder training retreat. I was asked to speak on centering prayer, which is a type of prayer that trains us, as the psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God." Approximately 20 years ago, when I was going through a tough time, a pastor friend and mentor of mine suggested centering prayer. I attended a seminar and learned what for me was a new form of prayer that over 40 years of my life I didn't even know existed. Centering prayer involves sitting with God in silence, as all one does is choose a prayer word that is a word used to consent to God's transforming presence. Then, after making yourself comfortable, you sit in silence. As thoughts come to mind, as they naturally do, you release the thought with your prayer word and return to God. This is best done for 20 minutes, two times a day. Centering prayer is really as simple as that. But the benefits of centering prayer for me have been amazing. The reason I bring centering prayer up today is that one of the effects of centering prayer on me is it taught me to be still and listen for God. When God's voice comes quietly in the night, like it did to Samuel, we're more likely to hear it if we have learned to release competing thoughts. My mind has become more still and more receptive to God's still small voice since I began centering prayer. Some similar type of practice might help you as well. Each of us is different, and we need to find our own best way to open ourselves to God. However, some form of prayer life is essential. We can only build up a relationship with God by communing and communicating with God. God loves us. And like the father in the parable of the prodigal son, never gives up watching the horizon for us. God is calling each of us, like Samuel, to a greater and deeper relationship with God in order that we might find and live our purpose. I pray that each of you might be able to pause and listen for God's voice and be able to respond, "Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart." I assure you that God has a plan for each of us individually and as a church. May all of us find the peace and fulfillment that comes with listening for and responding to to God's call. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let us stand together and say what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. What do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven.